We're in Djibouti off the Horn of Africa on Mapping the Culinary World. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this and having a listen. I appreciate the time it takes to listen to these episodes, but Djibouti, besides having a fun name, has some crazy landscapes, has some food that is very original, and some that you're going to recognize around the region, like close neighbors Ethiopia, as well as Yemen. Another thing that I try to make sure everybody understands is you got to go to culinaryconvo.com and sign up for our newsletter. Make sure that you get on there, sign up with just an email, and you get access to the recipes, you get access to everything that we do within our research, videos, all sorts of other websites, cool websites that you can then purchase goods off of, as well as recommended podcasts, whether it's in the food space or outside of it. Either way, kind of like Our Last Meal or 34 Questions or good old Dispatches from Myrtle Beach for the mythical crew over there. They're doing great work. But, you know, as much as I want to sponsor them, I feel like I should sponsor myself. And I'm just trying to say that go to Anchor to start a podcast. Like I said, they are our sponsor for this episode. And as always, go to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support. If you do want to support the show with any type of monthly donation, we're trying to get a Patreon going. But like I said, the main thing is getting that started. I always give the shout outs as well as leave a review for us. You got Linda Yoga Girl leaving a great review for us again. And then on top of that, we've got ConvoNaut Dylan giving us a little contribution each month. It's really awesome to see all those things coming together. I'm so happy to see people doing that. And I'm just happy to do these episodes, including, you know, the country out there, Djibouti. And we will get back to it from a word from our sponsor. Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody, welcome to Mapping the Culinary World. We're in Djibouti, and that is how you say it, Djibouti. You can find it on Google.
We double checked,
yeah. We are here with good buddy of the pod, Joel. How's it going?
Hi, hello, everybody. Yeah. I'm here.
I'm here.
Yeah. It's literally the most, that's like the highest level of skill that I have. I'm here. That's my signature move.
Yeah, you know when everybody was taking roll or enrollment in rooms and they said, Joel, and he would immediately be like, I'm here.
And then I would immediately get up and walk out the door.
Yeah,
because like, that's did it. My part.
Yeah, yeah, I'm done.
This is all they signed up for.
Yeah.
That's what my contract says.
Yeah.
$500 for I'm here. Thank you.
Then you just, checks in the mail, right? Thank you.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Djibouti,
we could get that direct deposited.
Yeah. Yeah. Djibouti is that country of I'm here. Because I don't know if anybody
believe it.
Really?
I didn't know.
Yeah. Has heard of this.
I thought you were casting a spell at me when you were shooting the episode. We're like, we got one in Djibouti. I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I dove under the other side of my bed. I was like, oh no.
You're shooting Djibouti at me. Yeah, but no, I mean, and that's the thing is like, I have heard the word Djibouti, but I have not heard it in the context, I think, of a country before. Thank you, American Education System, again, teaching us more and more about this world.
How long has this country been a country? Because that's what you got to watch for with Africa countries.
Well, I think they've been a country for some time. Like, I want to say at least since the 60s or 70s, if not longer.
Okay, then. That's boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we should have remember. And probably did learn it.
Yeah.
And then totally forgot about it.
Yeah, and just lost
it. I just can't maintain this stuff in my head, kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Our brains are filled with
space for new episodes of the Housewives show. Mm-hmm. What is that called? Housewives of LA?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. The Real Housewives.
So I guess I'm lying. I've got space. I just haven't made it and kept stock.
I have to save it. Yeah, I've got to save it for all the diagnoses that are in Dr. Pimple Popper. So steatocystomas, you know, all those things. I have to know that. I watch them so that if I feel a bump on my body, I can be thoroughly scared. You know? That's like...
Oh, my gosh, it's not cancer, but it's this other scary thing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know this is the steatocystoma cyst? And everybody's like, what is that? I'm like, it's just nasty.
It's a bump.
That's it. It's a bump.
It's a bump with some pus.
It's a body bump. Everybody's like, whoa.
On that note, let's talk about some food from Djibouti.
Yeah, because actual food from Djibouti. The general location of Djibouti, it's officially the Republic of Djibouti. And you probably are wondering, why are we looking at the Horn of Africa and then the Arabian countries? Well, it's because it is a country in the Horn of Africa, bordered by Somalia to the south, Ethiopia to the southwest, Eritrea in the north, and then the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden to the east. Yeah.
That's super helpful when you say it, because everyone knows exactly where all those are, too, because we're all super smart.
Totally. Yep. Absolutely. Just to let everybody know, I'm going to show Joel, but nobody on the YouTube video is going to be able to see it, but it's like
right there. Yeah, we can all see.
Right there.
It's in the dead center of the picture, like pretty right much where Yemen, which we've done before, so you all should know where it is. Right where that like is, like, I'm gonna touch you, Africa. Yeah, I'm gonna touch you. Boop. Right there. Boop. It's across the way.
Yep. It's like, we're gonna get you. We're gonna get you. Yeah.
Djibouti's like, not my Djibouti.
Yeah, not my Djibouti, and it moves away. Yeah. Every year at about 5 meters a year. Just nope.
And they're like, those are actually devastating earthquakes that rock the country's economic standing on the world stage. But yes, every time move away from Yemen, about 5 inches per year. So
it costs us millions of Djiboutian francs. That's right. That's their money. That's our currency, is the Djiboutian franc.
I love the idea of a franc being like the monetary name. I'll give you 5 francs for that franc. It's a hot dog.
It's a hot dog.
Yeah. A franc, right?
Frankfurter. Furter.
Well, yeah, but like...
Frankfurter.
Isn't an American euphemism for hot dogs? Franks?
Frank. Yeah, hot Frank. Ballpark Franks. Ballpark Franks.
For a Frank. Although that's a really expensive hot dog, but maybe it's like loaded up with like relish and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So it's the good ones. It's the ones that you would spend a lot of Djiboutian francs for. The population of Djibouti, 957,000. So almost a million people in Djibouti. And look at them. They're pretty people. Lots of colors.
Think once they pass that million mark, like the UN's gonna send them like a little
care package.
It's like a silver YouTube plaque, you know.
Oh yeah, from the UN. Definitely.
Just congratulations, you have a million people.
You have a million people. Congratulations! Or it even says at the bottom. Yeah, exactly. It says a million subscribers. Yeah. Oh man. See, that's the thing, is like, what happens if like a baby is born or someone from is like immigrating to Djibouti and they're like, you're our 1 millionth person.
Like,
what
you
do you get for that? What do you get?
Nothing, obviously, because we're not living in a cartoon world, but...
I wish, man.
We can dream. We should gamify life like that.
We should, yeah. We really should. And even if it has to be later, like who was born or came into the country first.
I know you didn't know this, but when you got here, you are our millionth customer.
Our millionth customer? Oh, man. But yeah, Djiboutians, they are... Yeah, they're almost a million strong. So once again, if you're walking around in the world and they're like, yeah, I'm from Djibouti, you can be like, you are a rare person, you know?
Yeah.
You're rare, because there's like 7 some odd billion, and they're like, dude, we're less than a million. Like,
it's nothing.
It's nothing.
Yeah. America's got 330 million, and we are full. I'm like sick of how many people are here, so...
I'm so tired of all the people.
If I could live in a place that had a million people, I mean, you know, make it as, like, spread out as America, though.
Right.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick.
Sick of it. Ugh. Man. But, yeah. Well, there's a million people, but their land area, it is 23,200 square kilometers, which is about 8,958 square miles. I'm pretty sure we have national parks larger than this entire country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's still big, but.
Still big. Yeah. Yeah. Big piece of land, you know. And it's right there. Right, look, it's looking right at Djibouti. And Yemen's like, hey, we could take you over. And they're like, no, thank you.
No, not right now.
Yeah, no.
Yemen's like, could we get some help, Djibouti? And Djibouti's like, I ain't getting in the middle of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking to you guys about that.
Just, what? Who said anything? I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. We're just counting our francs.
Yeah, I've got a lot of francs to count. I can't get involved.
Can't be doing that. Can't be doing that.
You guys are having fun with over there. And they're like, we're starving. And they're like, we've got francs.
Yeah. We got francs. If you want to spend your francs for francs, that's what we call it. Instead of March of Dimes, it's francs for francs.
Francs for francs.
Yeah. Yep. Francs for francs. But the official languages in Djibouti. Yeah, look at that. Aeroport International de Djibouti. It is Arabic and French. Yeah, Arabic and French.
Cool.
And then the other national languages, so these are the ones that like a lot of folks are speaking, Somali and Afar.
I've not heard of Afar.
Afar, I think it's also in
Ethiopia.
Unless
I heard about it Afar ago in the past.
Yeah.
I'll leave now. I'm sorry.
I did my I'm here. Goodbye. Goodbye. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, do you want to guess what the largest city in Djibouti is?
Djibouti City.
It is! Djibouti!
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's the name of it, is Djibouti. Djibouti.
Wow, okay.
And, yeah, where are you from? I'm from Djibouti, Djibouti. That's where
I'm from. I love that.
Yeah, I'm from Djibouti, Djibouti.
I think I'm going to change my residency.
To Djibouti, Djibouti. And
yeah, Djibouti,
I mean,
Djibouti.
Look at the weird outline of this
city. What in the
city.
World's going on that coast, on the north there?
Yeah, because it's like touches, and then it doesn't touch.
What is, whose is that? Is that
no
another
idea.
City or
another? Yeah,
this
no
private
idea.
Land, and they're like, I don't want to be a part of your little Djibouti inside of Djibouti. No, thank
you. And don't take this as me being an American imperialist here. But what I noticed is that if you were to bring, like, you know, you're a soldier, you got like a whole battalion of people, you got tanks and whatever. There's one highway leading into Djibouti. That's it.
That's a weak point.
That is a weak point.
Do that.
Yeah, there's one. There's one highway. So it's like, okay, here we go. Like, yeah, I don't know. But it's a very oddly shaped. It's like, where do you live? Djibouti. Oh, great. Well, do you live in the northeast region or like the western outlands?
Stuff actually happens? Or do you live in like the middle of nowhere, Djibouti, Djibouti?
Yeah. Nobody wants to live in the middle of nowhere, Djibouti.
Maybe it's like farmland or something.
Probably. Yeah, it's deserty in a way. So it's got, it's also the largest city. It's its capital and its largest city is Djibouti.
Okay.
Yeah. But famous quotes here, interesting quotes. The first one from Robin Williams. Yeah. He was in Iraq, Afghanistan, Djibouti, Bahrain. The first year, I went pretty much by myself. Then I went with General Richard Myers, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The shows and audiences were amazing. You'll never get a better group of people. Yeah, that was in relation to him doing stand-up.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, there is American military presence in Djibouti.
Color me surprised. I wouldn't have imagined.
Yeah. How did that happen?
You know, I mean, we were just having a conversation. I mean, it was a joke conversation, but I mean,
right.
I knew. We've got 900 of them.
Right.
I'm betting there's going to be one pretty close by.
Yeah. There's a feeling I get in the back of my mind that they spend more money on the Djibouti military, like, installment there than they do for an entire office of people that I may work with. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't have that feeling in the back of my mind. I have that feeling in the front of my wallet.
In my wallet?
Yeah.
Your wallet's ow!
It seems lighter than it could be.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. And I think some of my money's going to the other side of the planet, spending some of it right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, fractions of pennies, but also
right.
It matters.
Yeah. But the next one here, Claire Denise, or Denise. I don't know exactly which pronunciation it is. So people are going to yell at me, I understand. I always thought of Djibouti as a place where human history hasn't really begun yet. Or perhaps it's already over. There's something in the landscape that's stronger than human civilization. There's no agriculture, for example. And there are live volcanoes.
Oh, okay, well... Drag me on assuming that they'd have some crops growing out of in the middle of nowhere, Djibouti.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
I got a feeling that when she described this, everybody in Djibouti was like, "We're people. Like we have, what?
We
like,
we have a city.
Yeah, we have Djibouti and francs. Like what?
Yeah.
Did she not do francs for francs? They're like, no, she didn't. She didn't do francs for francs. She was there, and then it was gone. But yeah, she's a filmmaker, like clothing designer, I think, as well. So yeah, Claire Denise or Denise. I don't know how to pronounce her. There's no E at the end.
Clothing designer. So she's like, I was visiting some of the shops. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Right. She's just trying to throw shade at every country she visits. She's like, yeah, I was in Egypt, and it reminded me that the pyramids shouldn't be on clothing. You're like, oh!
I was going in a darker direction. I was talking about sweatshops.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I always assume with people like that. You just, oh, okay, well.
Yeah.
You're a clothing designer? Is it fast fashion? Is it fast fashion, though?
I'm betting it's fast fashion, isn't it?
I mean, if it's on a runway...
yeah. But yeah, going on to the food, instead of the economic, socio-political army, you know,
all the stuff that you always recruit me for here.
Right.
Because it's all the darkness that we deal with in this show. Just, hey, let's go to this place. It's not looking so hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no agriculture and there's only live volcanoes. You like that?
Did you hear recently about Djibouti in the news? And everybody's like, oh, no. And then you're like, I bet I'm going to get a call from Devin.
That gives credits to my earlier statement, too, about them moving away from Yemen.
Yeah.
Live volcanoes, active fault plate, or, you know, plates.
Fault plates. So. Yep. It all connects. It all circles back.
I just don't lie. Yeah. That's the thing. I don't lie.
Yeah.
I'm always right, and I never lie.
Yeah. Well, the influences brought to us by good old Wikipedia, they say Djiboutian cuisine is a mixture of Somali, Afar, Yemeni, and French cuisine, and some additional South Asian, especially Indian, culinary influences. Local dishes are commonly prepared using a lot of Middle Eastern spices, ranging from saffron to cinnamon.
Yum.
Really numb. Saffron being super expensive. Grilled Yemeni fish, opened in half and often cooked in tandoori-style ovens, are a local delicacy.
I'm thinking I'm going to like this stuff, because I love stuff with Indian cuisine in it. It's delicious.
Totally. Yeah. Lots of garam masala, lots of cumin, or what they call, like, coriander. I can't remember. Or cardamom, I think. Cardamom.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first one here, Marak Kalon. Yeah, that's right. Marak Kalon is a traditional fish stew originating from Djibouti. The dish is usually made with a combination of fish fillets, often tilapia or sea bass, potatoes, onions, okra, eggplants, tomatoes, garlic, tamarind paste, salt, pepper, parsley, rice, and oil. The potatoes are browned in oil and then mixed with the onions, okras, and all the other stuff. The ingredients are seasoned with salt and black pepper before they're mixed with the fish and rice. The mixture is covered with water, brought to a boil, and then simmered until the rice is tender. Maroc cologne is garnished with chopped parsley and served while the stew is still hot. All these brought to us by Taste Atlas. So, yeah. Yeah. It's like a gumbo. That's what it sounds like. Like a jambalaya or gumbo.
Looking at it, I'm like, that's really thick for like a stew. So I'm like, gumbo.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I believe, what some people call a thick daddy. Yeah. That's what it is.
Do they call it that? A thick daddy? I don't know. Oh, okay.
I said that because I don't know why, but like that went through my mind like an airplane.
I said that because I don't know. Stretched out of your mouth. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I like it. I'm gonna start calling my stews thick daddies. That's
exactly. Yeah. Well, wait. Is this a soup or a thick daddy? Yeah. That's what you gotta say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But the next one here, fa-fa. Yeah, that's fa-fa. Right. It's not what you just say to do vocal exercises. Fa-fa is a traditional soup originating from Djibouti, so not a thick daddy. It's usually made with a combination of goat meat, cabbage or kale, leeks, garlic, onions, potatoes, hot peppers, coriander, salt, and pepper. The meat and vegetables are placed into a pot covered with water and then gently simmered. After some time, the garlic and coriander are added to the pot and the soup is simmered until the meat is tender. Once done, fa-fa is typically served in individual bowls with kanjiro or injera. Yeah, injera, Ethiopian food. Everybody go get, go get her book, Miss Mogus. Good old Ethiopian cuisine. But anyways, flatbread on the side. The soup is usually made in the southern parts of the country and is often served for dinner. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Enabla by Miss Mogus. Or Mogus. I got to get that right. But anyways.
You do.
Yeah. But anyways, the next one here, this one is Skodekaris. Skodekaris. It is coming from one of the world's smallest and least populated countries, Djibouti, a former French colony located between Ethiopia and Somalia. Skodekaris is a flavorful rice dish seasoned with cardamom and cooked with lamb, although lamb can sometimes be substituted with chicken, beef, or fish. This thick, spicy stew, it's a thick daddy, is additionally enriched with cumin, cloves, cayenne pepper, cinnamon, and tomatoes, evolving into a warm and hearty comfort food dish. Spice and herbs are cooked with onions until soft. Lamb is browned, then tomatoes and water are added to the pot. When the meat gets tender, rice is added to the pot, slowly simmer for about 20 minutes. In the end, fragrant spices fill the air, and the meat melts in your mouth. The lamb. All it needs is a bit of traditional loxwox or injera flatbread on the side, some chopped coriander on top, and Djibouti's national dish is ready to be consumed.
That looks good.
It does. It looks really good. Like, it makes me just wonder if this was the precursor to, like, jambalaya and gumbo. Because we know that it's, like, you know, African-American cuisine and that kind of went up there. And then African cuisine. It's anywhere with rice and then meat and things like that. Just amazing. Like, this can't be bad. You know?
Delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next one here, you trypophobia people, watch out. Laho. Okay. Laho is a spongy flatbread popular throughout Somalia, Ethiopia, and Djibouti. So it's like injera. It is characterized by its circular shape and numerous holes on the surface. This pancake-like bread is made with plain flour, unlike its cousin injera, which is made with teff flour, which I still have teff flour. I've been trying to make the sourdough starter for my teff flour for a little bit, and I keep forgetting stuff in it, and I have to watch out for it. It's tough. It's hard. Not that cooking with it is difficult. It's more my fault, right? Like, it's my bad, you know? But anyways, laho can be consumed with both sweet and savory ingredients in dishes such as honey, sugar, stews, a.k.a. thick daddies, or soups.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking with those rolled up. I'm like, oh, you could just, like, dip that in a soup or something. Just so good.
Yeah. Makes it to where you can literally eat it with your hands. Less dishes. No forks or spoons needed. You just use that. Yeah. Oh, man. Now we're getting to the desserts. The desserts in Djibouti. Yes. You got halva or halwa. and other spellings. It's a Middle Eastern dish. It's a type of confectionery originating from Persia and widely spread throughout the Middle East. The name is used for a broad variety of recipes, generally a thick paste made from flour, semolina, or finely ground seeds or nuts, such as sesame or sunflower seeds, and sweetened with sugar or honey. Halva is popular in Western, Central, and South Asia, the Balkans, the Caucasus, Eastern Europe, North Africa, and the Horn of Africa. You might as well just said the world. Halva can be kept at room temperature during non-summer months with little risk of spoilage.
Hmm.
Yeah. Pretty nice.
I like the picture that you've got there because it looks like a, it's like a runic inscribing kind of like magic circle thing. It's just like,
yeah.
You set that down and then you're like, Djibouti, and it just starts glowing.
It just starts going. Yeah. For some reason, it lifts its own self from the ground. You're like, how does this happen?
It glows. It glows.
Yeah. It's crazy. This is absolutely crazy.
I don't know how it would taste though, if it's like gonna be like finely ground seeds and nuts mixed with sugar and honey. Pretty like hearty.
Right.
For a dessert.
Yeah. For a dessert. Kind of like a cookie, right? Like it's gonna be somewhat crumbly, I bet. But that's the one dessert I found. They probably like ice cream.
Any other desserts?
Yogurts.
Yogurt. Freaking yogurt. Yeah. That's what they like.
They got yogurts, stuff like that, but nothing that was like specific to Djibouti, which I know I'll get emails about that probably. They're like, I am from Djibouti. We have. And I'm like, why are you yelling?
You
don't
know what the heck you're talking about our desserts. We have lots of other desserts. And
I'm like, why are you yelling? They're like, this is an email. I'm sorry I left my caps lock on. I'm like, oh, my bad.
Then you just have them on here and you have them teach us
exactly
all about their desserts.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, anybody want to do that? Yeah, I'm more than willing. Man, oh, man. But the drinks in Djibouti, I know what you're thinking, Joel. You're thinking, gosh, I'm thirsty.
How could I survive here without alcohol?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Right. So the alcoholic drinks are not very much available in Djibouti, as Muslims do not consume such. Drinks like pomegranate, pineapple, lemon, orange, and lime juice are local drinks which are perfectly matched with their dishes. So juices.
Okay. So.
None of them fermented.
You know what they need? Djibouti needs a makeover, and we need to go there, and we need to get some desserts, and we need to get some alcoholic drinks, and we'd be like, that Muslim stuff, you need to drop that right now, because that's a party pooper. No one really invites you to stuff if you're really busy with religion. So stop doing that. Ugh. And here's a shot of vodka.
Yeah. Here's a shot of vodka, you know? And that's the thing is, like, I can understand even some of the countries that are predominantly Islamic, they at least have one or two types of alcohol that are part of, like, traditional alcohol.
Yeah.
So it just makes you wonder, like, kind of what's been going on there. Like,
where's the Iraq?
Something like that. Yeah. So that's the drinks there. Now we're going to go over the actual cost of going to Djibouti. So this is where some folks might steer clear if the alcohol was not already enough. As you can see in the picture here, here's Portland, there is Djibouti over there in the Horn of Africa. Let's just say you're like, I'm gonna fly there. Well, the best flight is $1,854 to go in December, and it is 33 hours and 40 minutes. The cheapest is $1,721, but you're going to be flying for 42 hours. So tack on another 9 hours onto that. And then the quickest flight, you're like, no, I got to get to Djibouti tomorrow. Quickest flight is 29 hours and it is $2,732.
So you're not
going
to get there tomorrow.
No,
I got to get there tomorrow. No.
No, that's impossible. That is impossible.
Like, it's not possible. You'll just have to charter a jet.
Yeah, you're gonna have to get a private jet. You're gonna for have like to 10 grand.
T-Swift it up and put a whole bunch of freaking greenhouse gases. Me. Exactly. Yeah. Like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Oh man, that's blew expensive. My mind. Yeah. 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 It blew my mind when I looked, because it seems like a lot of, especially North African countries, I thought there were pretty good flights to go there. But definitely, like, yeah, some of these countries, especially if they're in the center of Africa, so your Congo, you know, that kind of thing, it's long flights. But like, since there's not very many people that go there very often, sometimes it's not that bad. This was literally the worst of like kind of both worlds there, where it's like, this is going to be super expensive and it's going to take forever.
Yuck.
Yeah. And then once you land, I know Joel is like, I'm at Djibouti. Where is it? You know, I'm going to party. Where am I going to party?
Yeah, this is party.
Yeah, party.
Wake
in
up
Djibouti.
In the morning for prayer and party at party. Night, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. The average price, this is from thetripcost.com. The average price of a weekend, 3-day trip to Djibouti is about $1,108 for a solo traveler, $1,883 for a couple. For a couple.
Wait.
Yeah. 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 And $2,437 for a family of four. Djibouti City Center Hotel ranges from $240 to $600 with an average of $300 a night, while Airbnb rentals will cost you $75. We recommend budgeting $114 per person per day for a taxi. $114 for a taxi.
Per person.
Yeah.
Per day.
Per day. And public transportation and local restaurants. So $114 a day. How cheap can you travel to Djibouti? The cheapest trip to Djibouti is about $665 per person per day for travelers willing to limit travel expenses. Hostels in Djibouti city center is $27 to $33 for a solo traveler. Two-star hotels are available, but it's $240 for a single public transportation ticket for bus or metro.
How are there hostels in Europe that are cheaper than this?
Don't know. Cheap. It says cheap treeps must be planned 2 to 3 months beforehand. Yeah. Budget for daily cost of living in Djibouti. Yeah, a fine dining restaurant with drinks around Paris can easily cost $45 per person, while a standard nice meal might be about $9 per person in Djibouti. 1 kilometer of taxi in Djibouti is $5, while the public transport is $0. Costs vary wildly, so recommendations are made based on the cost of living and averages. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Costs vary wildly depending on if you get mugged when you're leaving your taxi or
right.
something. What's going
yeah.
on?
I like, dude, I have no idea. All I know is
that's so expensive. And there's nothing there.
No. No, there's one city. It's the city. Hold on. Hold on. I'm going to get to the other cool stuff. Joel, jeez.
Okay.
Here's some last notes of interest, okay? From travelnoir.com, Lake Assal is 10 times saltier than the sea. Yeah, they don't have a like good freshwater lake.
The second saltiest body of water in the world.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. After
what?
Don Juan Pond in Antarctica.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Can you walk on it or something? Like, how salty
so.
Is that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. That's nuts. Yeah, it's 10 times saltier than the sea. Second saltiest body of water in the world. See, I've never heard of this Don Juan Pond. Like, what is that?
No, I've never heard of that. We need to have a whole episode on the Don Juan Pond.
Yeah.
Oh, it
Don
doesn't
Juan
have any
Pond.
Food in there, I guess. Well, we'll think of something.
Penguins.
Penguins love this.
Yeah. The next one here. Djibouti is positioned in the Afar Triple Junction. Yep. Okay. It's actually moving closer to Yemen. every year.
That's not great for them.
No, it's not.
It's not great for that entire canal.
No. Yeah, it's
awful. What's going to happen in like 500 years when that closes up?
Yeah, it closes up. And it's just boiling. It's just a pot of boiling water in the middle of the land. Yeah. Oh,
hey, man. You know what, though?
Yeah.
New real estate.
Yeah. Well, and it does say they're tearing away from each other.
Yeah.
That's okay.
So they are going to, like, slam into Arabia while the rest of Africa's, like, there's going to be a strait that's going to go around them. Eventually.
Yep. And it makes sense what old Claire was saying earlier. All they have is live volcanoes. Well, it makes sense.
Well, there Claire. It is.
Yeah. But yeah. So after you're done partying the next day and you feel an earthquake, remember that Djibouti City accounts for 76% of the country's population. That's right. Yeah.
So it's a city with like almost, yeah. It's got 750,000 people in it.
Totally. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yep.
Djibouti City. I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the largest city in Djibouti with a population of over 600,000. As a country, according to the CIA World Fat Book, Djibouti City accounts for 76% of the entire population. Yeah. So it's like if you live in the outskirts, you're like, I am one of the 24-25%. And I just made it to the big city. And then everybody's like, dude, all of us have been here for years.
Yeah. It looks cool.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, I think this is kind of like a rendering of Djibouti City that they're like planning on doing.
Oh.
Because when I looked up, Djibouti City, like tried to find that kind of thing, it kind of gave me different image. None of the images looked similar. So what I was like...
Is you got to go to maps and then you got to turn on aerial view.
Yeah, aerial view. Yeah. And see, I thought that would work. And this was Djibouti. This was like my closest, like, okay, fine. Like, I'll run with that.
Oh, it looks way grosser.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't look like this metropolis. Yeah. Yeah.
Nah, it looks like an industrialized spit take of that.
Looks like something from Star Wars, right? Tatooine?
yeah. Literally, when you're like hovering over it, it's like District 1, Quarter 3, Quarter 6, Quarter 5. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's poverty.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
That's all that is. Yeah. But the cool thing about Djibouti City is that it was built on top of coral reefs.
That's.
What?
Okay, so I I love the idea. I just know that wasn't carried out like I'm imagining it should be, you know, we're going to build this city in these coral reefs and we're going to like make it mesh with nature. So, no, it was like plow all of that down.
Right.
And we'll just like move on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It says here that it is built on coral reefs that jut into the southern part of the Gulf. These coral reefs have the potential to protect both human and marine life and are extremely vulnerable to rising sea surface levels.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. And then from worldatlas.com, they let you know that Djibouti's national animal is the elk.
Where?
Well, let's see. The national animal of Djibouti is the elk, which is scientifically known as Cervus canadensis. It is locally known as the wapiti, meaning the light-colored deer. The Djibouti elks are the largest species within the deer family. They inhabit the woodlands and are a population of approximately 60,000 in the country. You could literally push me over with a that I would have thought that I mean, mind blown when I read that. Somebody said, do you think there is elk anywhere on Africa? I'd be like, maybe South Africa. Like, I don't know, but not in Djibouti, not in Djibouti or Ethiopia. No. Like that kind of thing. I would not think elk are in those parts of the world.
Yeah. Me neither.
Yeah. Huh. Djiboutian elk.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is why I do this show, is to figure out stuff like this. And it's not even food related. Like, you would think elk, if the elk was that big of a deal, that it would be more part of their cuisine. But then you have to realize it's their national animal. So they're not going to kill their national animal. So it's like us having eagle stew. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just crazy. Crazy.
Thanks for the memories, elk.
Exactly. Thanks for representing our country.
I'm on the aerial map. Oh my god.
Yeah.
That looks like a warlord camp. I'm on map, and I've been going across the one highway.
Yeah.
That leads into Djibouti.
Uh-huh.
I'm on Highway 5 specifically that comes out of it. Huh. And you want to guess how many? You want to guess how many cars I've seen?
I'm going to guess a total of 6.
I've seen 2.
2.
And that was, I was about to say 1, but I found one more.
Oh. Ah.
2 cars. And I know that's like not, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, Google's not like doing live traffic maps there.
Right.
But I mean, right. Of these pictures, you would think maybe they, and I've gone, you know, across the whole country almost.
Yeah.
I found one. Oh, nope. There's my third car right there. Woo. And I'm really close to Djibouti now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, no, I'm and, inside know, Djibouti. Never mind. I like got to Djibouti and I got my third car.
See, there you go. You made it to the big city, kid.
Yeah. Now there's some more cars.
Well, just to throw a monkey wrench in things here, Djibouti's national animal is the elk. And I talked about how they inhabit the woodlands and are a population of approximately 60,000 in the country. That's interesting because on hisowntrip.com, they state that an interesting fact about Djibouti is that it is one of 16 countries on Earth where there are almost no trees. According to information from the World Bank Open Data, less than 1% of the land is covered in forest. Other similar places are Iceland, Libya, Lesotho, and Jordan. Yeah.
It just sounds like hell on Earth.
Well, it's like, where are these 60,000 elk that are in the woodlands at less than 1%?
I don't know, dude. It's like, it sounds and looks horrible.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a like a specific taste, you know.
Yeah, very specific, yeah. Because of, you know, they're importing literally everything.
Yeah. And then just to throw this out there, I mention this only because sports aren't everything. Djibouti national football team was dissolved in 2017 in a bid to, quote, stop poor results. It ranked 185th in the world. Djibouti has never
85.
yeah. Djibouti has never qualified for a major international tournament.
Well, I've got a couple of ideas as to why.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
This country just
seems
to be wrecked by poverty.
Yes.
For one. And for two, it's like in a really strategic location. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
I've got a feeling the French might have kind of colonized and taken everything. That's what it feels like in a way.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. How did elk get there? Probably the French.
Probably the French.
Yeah. But yeah, this country, the only thing I can say, their food sounds great.
Like all the ingredients.
Totally. Yeah. Their food sounds great. It just sounds like everything else around it may not keep you there and still keeping you eating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just seems like kind of might be a rough life there, you know? Yeah. So then it's like, okay, Joel, fine. You're leaving Djibouti. I get it. Okay.
I'm not leaving. I'm not going.
You're in the Djibouti City International Airport. And you're like, well, I'm getting my Djibouti and Francs out of here. Yeah. Where are you headed off to next? You're headed with us to the Mapping the Culinary Worlds. I almost said Somalian, but it's not. It's Solomon Islands. Yeah, the Solomon Islands. Yeah. Yeah. Solomon Islands. Pretty interesting place. Southeast Asia, right? Yeah. Solomon Islands. Gonna be a fun time. Gonna be way more tropical than Djibouti, I've got a feeling.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's...
I'm like, I've already gone over to the Solomon Islands, and they're so green, it's hurting my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compared with the
desert
inspiring brown of Djibouti.
Inspiring brown. Yeah. And see, that's the thing, though, is here's the last thing that I will say about Djibouti, as we do with a lot of countries. I would take a free trip pretty much anywhere, right? Like, pretty much.
Yeah. I'd see it.
Yeah, totally. And
I've never seen a live volcano in my life. I'd love to.
Totally. And not only that, but like most countries have amazing people there, right? They're kind.
That's, yeah.
That, you know, all those things. They're going to be more than hospitable. The main thing is that I wonder if you grab somebody from Djibouti and you said, hey, like in typical American, if you said, hey, we're going to vacation in Kansas. Most Americans would be like, why?
No.
Nebraska. You know, Wyoming, but nowhere near the northwestern part. you know, like all that kind of stuff. So like if you grab somebody from Djibouti, would they have the same thoughts that we kind of have on their country where it's like it's just this desert volcano? Like, what is going on there? Do they have that same train of thought whenever it's like, we're going to Indiana? Like, you know, I don't know. You know, I would love to know if they're just like, oh, the U.S. as a whole, like, as long as it's in the U.S., sure, I'll, you know, whatever. But like for us, I think we look at like the rest of the countries around the world as just other states instead of other countries at times, you know, like they're totally different just across one border. You know,
I don't do that. I look at states as little countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little third world countries in a trench coat that are masquerading like they own the place with a military budget that can fight God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
man. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. The trench coat effect. Yeah.
Trench coat. Just we can't really get our stuff together when we're apart, so let's just band together and
maybe hope we for can the best.
Pretend
yeah,
like we've done it.
Oh, man. But yeah, Solomon Islands is where we'll see everybody next time. Once again, join our newsletter. Go to culinaryconvo.com, sign up so you can get all the recipes from Djibouti. Make sure that you're checking it out so that you can see the research behind the scenes that we've been doing and getting caught up on episodes. See what's going to be coming up around the corner for episodes. But also go to culinaryconvo.com and just look around. And if you want to support the pod, go to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support. I'll let you know when the Patreon comes on. And yeah, I just appreciate Joel coming on and giving us his amazing depth of history throughout Djibouti and his navigation cartography skills across that map.
Yeah, I found three cars.
Yeah, you found three cars, buddy. Good job. Yeah.
They all did kind of look similar, so maybe it is the same.
It's the same car. Yeah. They're just tracking this.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, oh my gosh, guys, we found a car in Djibouti. Yep. Let's we just found one. Make the satellite follow it.
Oh, man. But yeah, we will see everybody next time on Mapping the Culinary World. Thank you again, Joel. And we will see everybody next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
everybody.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye. This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.